could, let's open our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. And let's just give the Lord some praise this morning too. And Father, we come to you and we just ask, Father, that as we open the Word, you might encourage us this morning, Lord, as we look again how magnificent you are, Father, how we can praise you, how, Lord, and just know that sometimes, Father, being in the world, Father, we get desensitized to how great you are. Father, I pray that you'd speak to us this morning as we finish out what is called your prayer, your pattern of prayer. Father, thank you for your word, Lord, and I pray that you would speak through me in a way, Father, that people will have met with you this morning, Lord Jesus, in your word. And Father, they might be encouraged and challenged. Father, I want to thank you for being our God. I want to thank you for being powerful and mighty. I want to thank you for your love for us, your care for us. I want to thank you, Father, for the salvation that you've given us, Father. So much to be thankful for this morning, Lord. I pray for the believers in the world right now who might be suffering, Lord Jesus, that they might be encouraged this day in you. Thank you, Father. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Verse 13 there, we're finishing the last half of verse 13. And the whole verse said, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Now next week I'll move to verse 16 because I already covered 14 and 15 when I was talking about forgiving debt. So we'll move to verse 16 next week. You may be seated. Let's talk about the last bit of verse 13. "For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Now, just to remind us, as we've been working through the Lord's Prayer, or the Lord's pattern of prayer, if you, is really what, remember in Luke 11:1, the disciples said, "Teach us to pray." And so this is the Lord's response to that, being taught to pray. It's a good thing to be taught to pray. Probably prayer is one of the hardest things people have to do, yet it's the easiest thing to do. We always seem to find ourselves too busy to talk to God, spend time in prayer. Remember, Jesus is our pattern of how to pray. He would get up every morning and throughout the day and into the evening sometimes. You would find him where? Before the Father, praying. If it was something for the Lord to do, it should be something that we take serious. And so he's teaching us how to pray, and we learned that he is our Father, not just my Father, but we're a family. He is our Father, and there is a relationship and fellowship between himself and his children. So the Lord's Prayer started out, "Our Father." So who does that prayer belong to? He wants you to go to prayer because you know him. You have fellowship with him. And we saw his name is to be hallowed by those who know him as their Father. It means to have reverence for God, respect. He's to be in a place of where you're awestruck with God. And I mentioned in our culture how much that doesn't seem to happen anymore, at least in the world we live in. It shouldn't be the case with us. We should be in awe of God. We should reverence his name. We saw that we rely on him alone for our daily bread or our provision. He's the one that provides for us. We're going to see that more as we go through Matthew chapter 6. But he provides for us. How many know that to be true? That God provided for you this week, even this day. I was thinking this week, Lord, with all that's going on in the world, thank you for what you've given us here in Idaho. You know, we also saw that we're to forgive others of their trespasses or their debts, your Bible might say, their sins. Sometimes that's a hard thing to do, is forgive other people. But yet the Bible tells us if we want our Father to forgive us, we have to forgive other people. If you want the forgiveness of God, you have to have a forgiving heart. Or God just, he says, those two things are tied together. So I want God to forgive me of my sin. Well, then you better have a forgiving heart towards other people. And it has to be the same way that Jesus forgave you, where he's taken your sin and he's forgotten it. He doesn't remember it anymore. It's as far as the east is from the west. So I mentioned that if we keep bringing up people's past offenses towards us, there's never really been forgiveness. Because if we forgive like Christ, he doesn't remember that sin. So if we want to have that forgiveness, that's how we have to do it. And so we also saw that he is the one who helps us to have victory over temptation. How many have been tempted this week? Yeah. And victory comes from him. We will, so that we will not sin against him. The last thing we want to do is fall into temptation and end up to be sin, where that can become a practice of sin, a lifestyle, if we're not careful. So this morning we return to really in the last part of this passage, we return to words of praise as we look at the teaching, his teaching on prayer. Much like the opening of this prayer, it's as if God leads us back into praise of him, because it started out, "Our Father in heaven," and we end up, "For yours is the kingdom." So after all these are the bookends, they're praise verses. And so we want to do that this morning. We want to praise God because this should really send us to our knees, giving him praise that's due to him. Let me show you some verses here in the scriptures. Psalm 147. I want to start there this morning. I'll have you working through a lot of scripture. Psalm 147. And if we go to the first verse, praise the Lord. Just a great way to start a psalm this morning. Praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. Think of just be thinking about that as we go through this. What is it I can praise God for today? Because it's a beautiful thing for him to have praise come from your lips, for you to sing praises to God. Look at Psalm 35, verse 28. Psalm 35, 28. And my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all the day long. Now, I think of my conversation through a day, and I'll stand here and say, oh, I wish that I could change some of my conversations. I wish I would have spent the day just praising God. Wouldn't that be great? And here's a psalmist that says, and of your praise all day long. That's what's going to come off my tongue. If I open my mouth to talk, would it be that I would use it to praise God instead of tear down his people or complain or talk about what everybody else talks about at the work site or all those kind of things you see in our world? Would it be that we would use it to praise God? What would a day look like if I woke up in the morning and I spent the whole day praising God before I went to sleep? And so we look at, let's go to Luke chapter 19, Luke 19. And Luke 19, verse 37. Then as he was now drawing near to the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen. Now take a look at that verse. It's not talking about Jesus, but talking about the disciples as they're coming into Jerusalem. They began to, it's like walking in a group together and sitting there and going, hey. Remember what Jesus did? Did you see what he did? Do you remember what he taught us? And they began to talk amongst themselves about all the great things God has done that they've been witness to. Now, what would it be like if we as disciples of Christ, that was our conversation when we got together as brothers and sisters in the Lord? Hey, guess what God did this week? You're not going to believe what He did this week. Let me tell you what He showed me in the Scriptures. Let me tell you, I watched Him change a life this week. And that was our conversation. I wonder how much that would edify the body of believers if that was the way we talked. And that was the disciples. They were constantly talking about praising God. And so, let's go to the verse in Matthew chapter 6. For yours is the kingdom, it says. The kingdom that Jesus came to establish was intended to be entered into by a spiritual birth. If we were to go to John chapter 3, and let me go there, John 3, verses 3 through 5, the Word tells us that Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the what? The kingdom of God. Not just other believers, not just God, not just heaven, but unless you're born again, you will not even see the kingdom of God. Now think about that. That is a something when I go to heaven, eternal, I won't see that, but I won't even really see and understand the workings of the kingdom of God here. I'll miss it unless I'm born again. That's why some people that don't know Christ pick up the Bible and they say, golly, I've read the Bible, it's just gibberish. I don't get it. And when they get saved, when they come to Christ, when they believe upon Him, all of a sudden every little jot and tittle becomes exciting. It makes sense. People, be glad that you're part of the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of God was intended to be manifested even through the reign of Christ in the hearts of men. If you look at Luke chapter 17, go to Luke 17 verse 20. Luke 17:20. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered and said to them, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed the kingdom of God is what? Within you. Now when that takes maybe a whole new light when I say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Or when I say, as it says here, for yours is the kingdom. That kingdom is not just something that we're going to see someday, although that would be great, won't it? Going to heaven. But His kingdom resides in me. Isn't that incredible? The whole power, all of God's working, everything that, He indwells us. His kingdom is within the hearts of men, within men. And it's a kingdom that's not of this world. Look at Romans 14, verse 17. Romans 14. Take a look at this verse. Therefore, I have reason to glory in Christ Jesus in the things which... Am I in the right place? No. That would help. Let me back up. Verse 16. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now think about that verse and the verse I just talked about, where the kingdom of God is in men. Right? So what's that kingdom of God that resides in you? Look at this verse again. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but what? Righteousness. That's what's in the believer. Righteousness. What else? Peace. How many have peace with God this morning? And look at what else. What else? Joy. How many are actually joyful this morning? Excited.
There's
that joy of the Lord should be in us. Now, do we always walk that way? I could say, no, we don't. But look, joy in what? The Holy Spirit. So, for yours is the kingdom. All the things we're talking about. That kingdom belongs to who? God. And that kingdom resides in me. So therefore, I must belong to God. Yours is the kingdom. All of it. See, that's what God wants us to acknowledge. There is none of this that is ours by our own works. It's all His. All of it. Yours is the kingdom. It doesn't say yours and Dan's kingdom. Yours is the kingdom. And what's the next thing He says? Yours is what? The power. The power. But before I go there, let me go to Matthew 28:18. Still talking about the kingdom. Who has authority in this kingdom that is His? Matthew 28:18 says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Whose kingdom is it? It's His. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. Verse 20. Ephesians 1. Let me back up a ways here because there's... let's see. And what, verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Whose kingdom is it? It's His. Who has authority over that kingdom? He does. Colossians chapter 2, in verse 10. See, sometimes we forget that it's all about Him. That it's His kingdom. That He's in charge. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. So again, without beating this down too much, He is head. It is His kingdom. For yours is the kingdom, and now for yours is the power. Now, the power of God is something you and I should acknowledge. We should sing praises about God's power. Think of how powerful God is. Turn to Psalm 21, verse 13. Psalm 21, 13. Psalm 21. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. What a thing to say. Be exalted, O Lord, in your own strength. We will sing and praise your what? Your power. We come and we sing praises because God is powerful. Now, the truth is, sometimes we doubt God. Sometimes we maybe question God. Somebody say, well, I don't do that. Yeah, sometimes we do. Sometimes we may not think God is as powerful as He says He is because things aren't happening. But God is powerful. And we should sing praises of His power. Look at what it says in Psalm 59. Go to Psalm 59 and verse 16. Psalm 59:16. But I will sing of your, here it is again, I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Now, think about, look at that verse for a minute. Think about how powerful God is. And He says, I'll sing about your power. Yes, I will sing about your mercy in the morning. How powerful is God? Powerful enough to give you mercy. Think about that. That's a powerful God. They can say, okay, today I'm not going to punish, I'm going to give mercy. That's a powerful God. Look at Psalm 145, starting in verse 9. Psalm 145. What should I do about this power that God has? Psalm 145 tells us. Psalm 145, go to verse 9. The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Isn't that incredible? The two things I've already talked about this morning. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power to make known to the sons of men His mighty acts and the glorious majesty of His kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Again, look at that. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power. Okay, let's just take a moment and do that. Let's talk. Tell me where God's been powerful in your life. We're going to talk amongst the sons of men about the power of God. How has He been powerful? Okay, He saved you. That's a good place to start right there. He saved us. What else? This week, where did God show His power in your life? What's that? Okay, that's good. Looking at His creation. Okay, what else? That's great. That shows a mighty God. Something simple like that. Okay. I'm doing this for a reason because I want you to think. We need to talk about these things. I'm going to walk out here and just. It's like a politician. He keeps us safe. Okay, Laura. You don't breathe without God. Go ahead. So everything that's around us, He maintains it, He keeps it. Amen. Go ahead. Okay, like on a daily basis. Okay. Amen. Amen. Go ahead. Amen. Amen. You see Him working the lives of people. Go ahead. Yeah, very good. George. We can't do anything. We forget that. Doug.
He shows His power, but
did you like that announcement? That was subtle. Sam. Yeah. Yeah, how all things become new even.
And if a seed remains packaged, it has to be buried to produce fruit.
Mm. See, there has to be, go ahead. He cares about even, yeah. Amen. Amen. All right. Now the reason, go ahead.
Our minds are so small when it comes to something like this, and not to downplay anything that is being said this morning, but when the scripture says everything, take for granted that first breath of the morning when our eyes open, even in our sleep, it's everything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that power that he has controls
everything.
Everything. And we can't fathom that because we can only fathom our own existence where we stand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything.
How does he keep it in place in this universe? How big is this universe?
Yeah.
And I was just thinking about this week. I was reading about the satellite that was sent off, and it's so far out there that, you know, it takes years for the pictures to get back here. And it showed a picture. They had it in the paper. I mean, this is billions of miles or millions. We think it ends at, you know, Jupiter and Mars and a couple more planets out, but, you know, it's endless.
Mm.
And just to think that everything that word entails, everything.
Yeah, amen. So there's a reason I'm doing this is because how often do we forget God's powerful? We get desensitized to it, to where we don't even see the little things anymore. We wait for big things for God to do, and we miss the little things. And I think there's a reason he has this in the end of his prayer. We start with our Father, and it ends with, it's your kingdom, and you are powerful. Okay, because we need to be reminded on a daily basis that God is more powerful than we are. Okay? And we think the world revolves around us, and our plans, and our ideas, and our thoughts, and everything's about us. And it has nothing to do with us. He is the God. It's His kingdom. He's the powerful one. Nothing in my life would happen or work if God just said, it's over.
Yep.
It's over.
Yep.
You're done breathing. Come home. I don't want to go home. Too bad. I didn't ask you. Come home. I want to keep that job. You're moving.
Yep.
I don't want to move. I said, you're moving. And you're going, or I'm sending you here, or this is going to happen, or this trial's coming. I don't want all this, God. I didn't ask, because it's not about you. I'm powerful. I'm God. It's my kingdom, and my power, and my, what's the last one? Glory. Now think about that for a minute. God is interested in glorifying Himself, and He will use you, as a believer, or he'll use an unbeliever to do the very same thing. I'm going to glorify myself. I'm not into glorifying you, although we have the glory of Christ, you know, and there's someday we'll be glorified. But here on earth, it's all about bringing glory to who? To God. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Now think about that. We know that His power is seen, it was brought up, is seen in creation. We know He governs the world. We know power in God is seen in His salvation, in His resurrection. But when it comes to glory, when you think of God's glory, what comes to mind?
Wow.
Wow. What else? What comes to mind? Glory. Think about that word. Okay, yeah. All that He has, which is Ephesians 1:3, it belongs to us now. That's incredible. What else? When you think of glory, what do you think about?
Blinding light.
Blinding light. A lot brighter than what's that shining in your eyes, right? All right. What else? I heard something back here. Miracles. Right? What else?
Powerful music.
Powerful music. Okay. It's a good glory. In the Old Testament, the word glory is used constantly, and it's the word kabod. I know that doesn't mean what's that matter, but it means splendor, honor, majesty in the Hebrew. That'll show up in verses like Psalm. Let's go to this Psalm 3:3. Remember, we're talking about splendor, honor, majesty. It even implies the word wealth. God is wealthy. Did you know that? Not just wealthy like we would think dollars and cents, but listen. If you own everything, you're wealthy. If it's all yours, you're wealthy. Psalm 3:3 says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head." Okay, so that word glory there implies splendor, honor, majesty, wealth. You are the one that brings me up out of the garbage and the sewer, and you're the one that gives even me splendor, even provides for me. You're even the God that would honor us. Wow, you are my glory. Here's the God of all creation wanting to honor His own, give glory to His own. Let's look at another passage where that might show up. Psalm 84. Psalm 84, verse 11. So go to Psalm 84:11. And I put more of these verses in your bulletin so you can study them later, but we're not going to probably have time to go through all of those this morning. For the Lord God is a sun. That's S-U-N. And Sam's talking about the brightness of God. It says, "The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly." So those who walk with God in an upright way, in a righteous way, God is saying here, "I'm going to give you splendor. I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to give you majesty. I'm going to give you wealth. Basically, I'm going to give you things that you never thought were even possible. That's what I'm going to do for my child." Isn't that amazing? So that's that glory. The New Testament uses a couple different words for the word glory when you get to the New Testament, and it seems to constantly run with the word doxa. And that word means dignity, it means praise, it means worship, it means honor that's due someone. Honor that excites admiration. So you'll see that in passages like 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. In verse 7, it'll say, well, that's not it. Did I say, I said 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2. In verse 7, So it says, but we speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our, what? Our glory. So it's for our praise, for our worship, for our something that would excite our admiration about God. So that's where that word would show up. You see that again, 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verses 9 and 10. For if the mystery of condemnation had glory, okay, the ministry of righteousness succeeds much more in glory. So if the ministry of condemnation, what is that, by the way? What's the ministry of condemnation? The law. Okay, that's what he's referring to, the law. If the ministry of condemnation, because what does the law do? It puts you what? Paints you as a what? A sinner. So if the ministry of condemnation had glory, or it had praise, worship, if it would that kind of thing, then even more so is what? The ministry of righteousness, which is believing in Christ, or Christ would be the ministry of righteousness. So that would be, as much as the law would cause you to praise God, much more would a relationship with Christ cause you to praise God. If the law would cause you to worship God, much more would what Christ did cause you to worship God. And there's another word which is doxadzo, which would show up in like Matthew chapter 6. Go back to Matthew 6 where we are. And verse 2, therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. And that word means to esteem glorious or to render as excellent, to exalt. To exalt in dignity. So in that passage, they were looking to be exalted or praised. Okay, enough of that. The point is, all glory belongs to our Father. Listen, even if it's praise of us or praise of God, it belongs to Him. Okay, you see what I'm saying? Somebody comes along and says, you know what? You are a wonderful person. Thank you for doing that. That glory does not belong to you. That belongs to God. And we need to quickly say, wait a minute. Thank you for the compliment, but it's all the Lord doing that in me. Be careful not to take the praise that belongs to the Father. We want to do that. We want words of affirmation from people. Tell me how wonderful I am. You're not wonderful. God is wonderful. God is good. And He deserves the praise. And He's using you as a tool to be praised. So somebody comes up and says, that was such a good thing you did. No, it wasn't. That was a work that God had planned for me to do, and the glory's His. See what I'm saying? So all glory belongs to Him. So the end of the prayer is this. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the what? Glory forever. How long? Forever. Now, this verse, which is amazing, has been removed from or not added to some manuscripts. Some of your Bibles, I might be talking about a verse that's not even in your Bible. Some, it's taken out of some Bibles. Okay. I don't think it should have been, but that, because it's all about praising Him. My opinion doesn't matter. I'm using the New King James and has it in it. Because there's nothing wrong with praising God for His kingdom and His power and His glory. But there are manuscripts that took it out. So if you have a modern manuscript, it's probably not there. But listen, what it declares is very true. The kingdom, all power, all glory belongs to one and only one forever. And this is the Lord's Prayer broken down for us in these last 7 weeks into these parts. And this is how you and I should pray. Let's go through that prayer as we close in prayer. Father, our Father, I want to thank you that you reside in glory, that you're above your creation. You are in, as it says, in heaven. Or you're not equal with us. You're above us. You reside in the realm that will be forever, that is forever. And Lord, I pray someday, first of all, Father, thank you that your name is above every name. You're above every principality. Father, your name is to be praised and worshiped. And I want to thank you, Father, for all that your name declares, from being our comforter, our provider, our wonderful counselor, the Almighty God, our Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, all these different names, Lord Jesus, that are yours, that declare your provision and your care for us. Lord God, thank you for your name. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have a kingdom that reigns over men. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that kingdom would be here soon. I ask, Lord, that it would rule and reign, Lord God, in the hearts of men. Father, I pray that we'd see the effects of that in this world that we live in. Father, I want to thank you that your will is only what matters. And I pray your will would not be just done in heaven, but Lord, that it would be done even in my own life, in our lives, Father. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you provide for us daily. And even today, Lord, to come to you and ask, Father, for provision to be made for us. And Lord, as I do that, if anyone has offended me, Lord, give me a heart of forgiveness. Lord, even to the point where, Lord Jesus, I want no offense to have hurt me. I want to be no offense to anybody. So, Father, if we haven't represented you in a godly way, then, Lord, please forgive me. But, Lord, let me forgive those, Lord, who offend me. Give me that heart, Lord, that you have of forgiveness. And, Father, Lord Jesus, when temptation comes, Lord, I pray for the strength to say no. And Lord, that you would help me to battle against the evil one, Lord God. The spiritual battle that takes place. Lord, give us victory in those areas, Father. And Lord, let us never forget that it is your kingdom and your power and your glory that should be exalted forever and ever. Father, you are an awesome and powerful and wonderful God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.